It's time now for America in the Balance. Brought to you by Oklahomans for Sovereignty and Free Enterprise. And now your co-hosts, Amanda Teagarden and Don Wyatt.
And welcome, freedom-loving Oklahomans, to another hour of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. This is Amanda Teagarden in studio with my co-host, Don Wyatt. Hello, Don.
Good afternoon.
Sort of cooler in Oklahoma than it's been.
Yeah, we're getting spots of cooler.
Spots of cooler, so now it's only in the high 90s.
There you go. But boy, is it humid.
It's very humid, but we have to be thankful it's humid because it rained a little bit.
We're thankful for the rain.
We are very thankful, and as you can tell, we're broadcasting from the great state of Oklahoma. Our website, we're both with OK Safe. That's Oklahomans for Sovereignty and Free Enterprise. Our website is ok-safe.com. Don is also with another organization, the Tulsa 912.
And Tulsa 912 is website is Tulsa912project.com, and our targeted expose tool is called the boondoggleblog.com.
Boondoggle blog, spelled just as it sounds, and it's Oklahoma based, but maybe your state could pick up some pointers on citizen activism. OK Safe's blog is, if you go to the website, you can click on the OK Safe blog. Lots of information. What OK Safe has been addressing this year is issues, this is 2011, issues that have to do with the state's fight against the implementation of what the public calls Obamacare, which is perfect. Its actual name is the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, and the establishment of state-based health insurance exchanges. Exactly. The states, and your state may have been one of them, that received early innovator grants totaling in the millions of dollars. You didn't beat Oklahoma because we got $54 million in an early innovator grant, and the citizens applied enough pressure, political pressure, that the governor of Oklahoma, Mary Fallon, a Republican, gave back or rejected the early innovator grant. Kansas followed suit.
Correct.
With Governor Sam Brownback rejecting the early innovator grant, and others may follow, like Indiana.
Right. We had a great show last week, still available in the archives, that you can go listen to about Kansas' experience there.
That we had a great guest, Richard Fry of November Patriots. You want to go back and listen to that and take some real encouragement that there's still enough time left in this country to have good political action.
We can make a difference.
We can make a difference. Now, just because the states gave back the early or rejected the early innovator grant, it doesn't mean we're out of the woods yet on the health insurance exchanges, because they're just gone to Plan B.
Well, they're hunting for other ways to finance it.
Right. And the health care compact, there's another mechanism, but they'll use. Anyway, so we're encouraging people to stay engaged and continue to do what you can to make a difference. We're talking about a brand new subject today, and it's we're just going to introduce the subject, and the subject has to do with FEMA designating land in your state. We're talking about Oklahoma in particular here, but it's probably happening in your state. Land as floodplain in areas that have never flooded before or only have like a 6-inch wide dry creek bed or something, with the result that property value plummets.
Right.
And we're going to talk to two guests. We have one in-studio guest is David McLean, who is on the staff of Emmanuel Baptist Church in the great city of Skiatook, Oklahoma. And on the phone, we have a woman named Margaret Snow, who happens to live in a small town called Ramona, Oklahoma. And both of these people have had an impact with FEMA recently that has been enough that it ought to really scare you as to the power and authority of this organization to destroy your property value. And an issue that comes up is, let's just really quick remind ourselves what the Fourth Amendment is. Okay, Don? The text of the Fourth Amendment is,
that's right,
the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized. The word that we need to focus in on here is seizing, and there's lots of ways you can seize property.
There sure is.
There are an actual physical taking of it, or there's a way of seizing it by stealth, by diminishing its value, and running people off.
Exactly. Making it impossible for people to do with it as they wish or need to do, and therefore making the property unusable to them.
To them.
To them.
To get a desired outcome.
Correct.
And which is probably moving people off their property.
Exactly. My suspicion is that all of this is to get us off our land.
People in our listening audience are familiar with the subject of sustainable development. It is a land grab on mammoth of mammoth proportions. And one way that can be used is to decide, you have an endangered species on your property, or we need to develop a conservation easement, or this is part of a riparian way, and the encroachment begins.
They've already identified the waterways or the water places or the water channels or the water possibly ever there.
Watershed.
Watershed as the mechanism that they will use to gain control over the land.
But it's all good, Don. It's for your benefit.
Exactly. I appreciate it so much, don't you?
You do. All right. Well, without further ado, we're going to go to our in-studio guest who lives in the city of Skytook. And Dave, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure to have you in to talk about this. And you are associated with you work for Emmanuel Baptist Church in Skytook, which is not a big city. It's a township. Township of Skytook, yes. Oklahoma. And you are also in the construction business.
Yes, I am.
And at one time you ran for state senate.
Yes.
You did. So you've been around the state a little bit, and you've become familiar with the really wonderful people that are living here.
Yes.
And you've traveled a lot of that privately held land that happens to be in Oklahoma.
Yes, I have.
Yes, you have. All right. So tell us your story. What happened to you just recently in your state? And Margaret, we're going to talk to you shortly also about what happened to you in Ramona.
Yeah, when Amanda says recently, this is about 3.5-4 weeks ago. I'm building a couple houses in the township of Skytook, and I noticed that on my job site, a white U.S. government truck had rolled up on my job site, and two men got out, and they had a will with them, and they were on my property, and they were taking some measurements on my property. So I went over to them and very politely asked them, you know, what are you doing there? And they said, well, listen, we're with FEMA, and we are looking into the floodplains, and maybe adjusting the floodplains. It looks like you may be safe today. We're not sure. We're going to go ahead and shoot some elevations here, and we're going to see where you land and all this, which was a huge red flag to me. You know, I was very concerned when I heard that. Well, they no sooner said that, and we kind of parted ways. And well, before that, before we parted ways, I asked him if he had a map. I'd like to see a map. And so he showed me a map of the floodplains and things of that nature, and we weren't in that floodplain on that map.
Did you notice the date, the effective date of that map by any chance?
Yeah, that effective date of that map was in 1999. Now, they came back to me the following day and gave me the effective date. I didn't think at that time to ask them for an effective date, because as you're going to see, the story over a three-day period of time will advance itself to the point we'll get to there in a minute. But
exactly.
Anyway, so they showed me the map, and we were outside of the floodplain there, clearly. And he said, looks like you're not going to have any problems with FEMA. And I said, great. And so FEMA left, and the very next day, around noontime, the same white truck showed up, and the two FEMA agents got out of the truck, and one of the township inspectors had come up. Of course, they inspect my houses for, you know, make sure they're being built right.
Because you construct homes.
Yes, because I construct homes. And the township inspector came over and said, David, we have a problem. And I said, well, what's that? He said, well, according to the maps and the readjustments of these maps, you're now in the floodplain. And I said, is that right? How could that be? And he said, well, one of the federal agents said, well, David, the map that we had yesterday was the wrong map. This is the right map that we have today. And according to this map, you're in the floodplain. I said, let me see those maps. And so that's when I had initially asked for the date of the maps. I want to know now my interest is completely piqued, because they're devaluing my land, going to force me to buy flood insurance and
et cetera,
and,
et cetera,
and et cetera, et cetera. Well, these houses that we're building are built around Emmanuel Church, where I serve.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, one of the federal agents said to me, David, you know, this, we didn't realize that this development was going on here. This used to all be, you know, old houses. And now there's all these new houses here. And it looks like all these houses here may be in the floodplain now, and as well as 3/4 of the church's parking lot will be a part of the floodplain.
So these houses were an upgrade from what was there before. We were talking earlier, and these were the original homes that were there were pretty run down and probably had crime.
Yes, heavy
crime, methamphetamine labs.
Yes, methamphetamine labs, a lot of meth users in that area. And so several members of the body got together and started purchasing these houses.
So citizens said, we're going to clean this up. We're going to buy these properties.
We're going to clean up the area is what it came down to. And so that's been the process that we've been in the last couple of years, is cleaning that area up. Well, FEMA shows up, and all of a sudden we're now going to be put it back into the floodplain and put into the floodplain where, but he said, oh, this is a good thing, though. I said, well, how is this a good thing? He said, because now you can get flood insurance cheap through the federal government.
Lucky you.
I said, well, praise the Lord for that.
Well, I have never, we were talking earlier, I have never, ever thought it was a good news that you can now buy insurance.
Yeah, me neither.
You now qualify for more insurance. Yeah. It is like, what a perspective. Yeah. But we have good news. You can buy insurance.
Yeah, good. That's the real good news. You know, I did explain to them why they were there. I said, listen, you know, I'm a common law sovereign, so here's how it works. I just want to know who gave you the authority to come here and dictate to me where the new floodplains are going to be and so on and so forth. But I said, but beyond all that, now we're talking about the sovereignty of the church. You know, and when you're dealing with the sovereignty of the church, the federal government has no right to come in and tell us where or where or not floodplains are or are not. He said, well, we partnered with the township, or he called it the city of Skytook, and I corrected him and told him it was a township. And then I explained to the agents what's the difference between a city and a township. I went into detail on that as well, because I wanted them to have a full understanding of who they were dealing with and so on and so forth. And I let him know that, you know, by doing what you're doing, you have personally violated my 1st, my 4th, my 5th, and my 10th Amendment rights.
Just listed them all.
And
just
listed them all. The 9th, you know, too, probably.
Yeah, I knew the 4th was covered. I figured the 1st might be covered only because of the judicial church process that has been usurped. So, and then
you
the
just
rest,
knew this was wrong,
this
wrong,
was
wrong.
Super wrong, yeah. And I'll tell you, you know, when you're dealing with the sovereignty of the church, it's a completely different issue than it is with an individual.
Right.
And so they were not only crossing the line with me, they were crossing the line with the church.
Well, what were the names of these two people?
Gavin and Matthew. So I have
Gavin Brady and Matthew Rollins?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to get their names right.
Yes.
And Gavin Brady, maybe you're going to get to this.
Go ahead.
How did Gavin Brady introduce himself?
He introduced himself. He said he was from FEMA, is what he told me, and that they were from adjusting flood zones, is what he told me. What he said was this. He said, what FEMA has is they have a partnership with the township of Skytook. He called it the city, and I corrected him, was township of Skytook. And that he alone would be the one to make the decision on where the floodplains were set now and where they weren't set. And if the township of Skytook didn't abide by what FEMA said to do, then they would lean on the township of Skytook. The officials of the township of Skytook is what he said.
So that partnership obviously came with a lot of strings as far as he was concerned, right?
Yeah, you know, it just seemed to me that I'm just wondering how the federal government can come into a state, but beyond that, come into a township and then dictate to a township what they can and can't do.
Exactly. And Gavin Brady works for the Oklahoma Water Resource Board.
Yeah, that's what turned out to be on his business card as opposed to what he said he was, right?
So FEMA wasn't actually on his business card. It says Gavin Brady, Oklahoma Water Resource Board, and he's a member of the NFIP, which is the National Flood Insurance Program. He's the state coordinator.
Right.
All right, but not FEMA. But he said, when you asked him if he was from FEMA, he said yes.
Yes, you know, he introduced himself and said he was from FEMA.
FEMA, but his card says Oklahoma.
Yeah, we have seen recently some strange conditions here in Tulsa, for example, where a person's salary is actually paid by the federal government, but they have a business card that gives them a local business affiliate address and responsibility. So it could be that his salary's paid by FEMA, even though he's working out of Oklahoma City. I don't know
that. But he's funded by FEMA at the federal level, but he has a state. He's a member of the state
I'm
board.
I'm just saying it's possible.
And Matthew Rollins was a member of the Environmental Program Specialist and Management Division. So they're both actually state, representing a state agency or a board. And yet they're there with the authority of FEMA making this designation on your property. Now, hold that thought. Now, Margaret, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, Margaret, you live in Ramona. And again, this is Ramona a township or a city?
Well, it's a small town. I actually live outside the city limits of Ramona, so I'm in a rural area that's just county. I'm not under any regulations of any city.
Okay, so you are in an unincorporated area?
Mm-hmm.
In what what county?
Washington, Southern Washington County.
Southern Washington County, which is in the northeast corner of the state, northern border. It goes on north up into the northern part of Washington County, butts up against the state of Kansas. So that's how far north it is in this state. And you have had property there. We're going to come back to David, but right now, what you've had, you've owned property in this county. Washington County, and this property is 40 acres of land?
Right.
And this property has been in your family since when?
1946. My dad bought the first piece of property here.
1946. And since 1946, has this 40 acres flooded?
Never flooded. Never been anywhere near any water that was out of the banks of any thing in this area.
And your property does not butt up against a river or a tributary of any kind, right?
No. In fact, if you look at any maps, agricultural maps, conservation maps, it will list this piece of property in this area as upland agricultural.
Upland? I mean,
yes.
higher elevation, away from a body of water?
Sometimes right. Water flows upstream, you know.
On my place, it does.
I've been to those fun houses at Branson. Okay, you don't live in a fun house, and this isn't Branson, and water doesn't run uphill. So, but you have an upland property, and you went in November of 2008. You wanted to refinance your house, and so you went to Arvest Bank in your local town. And wanted to refinance your bank. And what did you find, to your surprise, when you went to refinance this property and your 40 acres?
Well, it went along fine until just a couple of days before we took close on it. And I was notified by my loan officer by phone, who I'm a friend with, and he said, Margaret, there's a problem arose. We've been notified that you're in a flood zone, a zone A high-risk flood zone is what his words were.
Zone A, high risk?
Yes.
Okay, so upland property in Southern Washington County is now Zone A, high risk.
That's correct. That's what he told me, and I laughed. I said, I've been here all my life. I know I'm not.
And was this your first inkling that your property had been, the designation of your property had changed?
Yes, it was the first I knew about it, and I did have in my possession flood maps going back that were dated in previous years. We actually looked at them extensively before we purchased anything else in this area and also before we put any improvements on this property. So it was the first notice of any kind I had received from anybody.
You haven't had an earthquake and shift in the ground or anything like that. So we're not talking that there's been a monumental change since...
Not any kind of a change nor any kind of development that would
change the watershed.
So actually all that changed was the map.
The maps, exactly.
The map, and the map was changed by FEMA?
I questioned him, and he said, yes, it's done by FEMA, and the map that we're looking at here that they sent us was dated September of 2008 as being issued to the county.
David was shown two separate maps to compare the date, the existing map and then the new FEMA map. Did you have that? You had your own maps because you had done
Well, I had the last map that I had in my possession was a 1991 map. I believe, like he said, the first one he was shown was a 1991. But the one that my lender referred me to was dated as being just issued to our county. This was in November, December of 2008, and the map had been issued, I believe it's September 26, 2008, the exact date on it that FEMA has it dated.
In 2007, you probably wouldn't be surprised at this, is that the state started looking at an Oklahoma Comprehensive Water Resource Plan.
That's right.
And then follows the FEMA designation, the map change in this, and then your property was caught up in this. So were you able to get the loan?
Absolutely not. I could have gotten the loan, but I went to check on insurance and then, of course, to try to figure out how to get out of it since I thought it was just nonsense. And it would have actually doubled my payment almost that I was making on my mortgage at the time.
Sure.
There was no way I could do it. So I began to research a little farther at that time to see what was going on.
And what did it do to the value of your property?
Well, it diminished it by a lot. And we had just had an appraisal on this particular piece of property a couple of months prior to this. I knew what it had appraised at. And at that point, I knew it was going to diminish the value. We had a later appraisal since all this has taken place, and it's about half of what it was before on the vacant land.
Because of the designation by FEMA as floodplain?
I'm assuming it's that. I don't know exactly if that's what the appraiser considered, but I do know that a piece of property just next to me that I used to own is not on this flood map, even though we're at the very same elevation. And they just had a recent appraisal, which is double mine. So I'm assuming that the flood issue has something to do with my being diminished to half the value it was a few years ago.
So this really changed your financial circumstances by having this designation as Zone A?
It changed them drastically, and frankly, I would have lost my property if I would have had to have had my mortgage increased by that amount because I couldn't have done it. And, the only way I had out of it was to find a way around it.
All right, Margaret. David, when you, you had FEMA come back, the guys in the white truck came back twice.
Yes.
And you started to question their authority, challenge
yes.
what they were trying to do.
Yes.
And were they successful in designating the Emmanuel Baptist Church and those homes that have been upgraded and cleaned up? What happened?
Well, what happened was when they came back, I asked them, where in the Constitution is to give them a right to adjust floodplains and so on and so forth. And
what did he say to that?
Well, he said, the Constitution, smonstitution, basically is what he said. I mean, he kind of danced around that. He made it sound like that they could pick and choose what they wanted to pick and choose out of the Constitution to use. And well, I just once again reminded them that I don't have that opportunity in my life to do that. I have to abide by those laws as well as he does too. But anyway, my question to him was, and to the township inspector who was there, is who gave who the authority to partner with FEMA? I don't care if FEMA has to abide by the Constitution or not, but the township does, and I want to know who. In management here in the township of Skytook gave the authority to partnership with FEMA because what they have done is violated my 1st, 4th, 5th, and 10th Amendment constitutional rights. And I want the city manager down here now, and he's going to explain to me how this partnership works.
And what happened?
Well, no, we don't want the city manager down here, is what I was told. So at that point, I looked at both of those other maps, and they're right. The second map was adjusted. I mean, we were in the floodplain at that point in that map. And so the conversation went a little long, and then that conversation ended, and we are going to go shooting. And so we are driving to the shooting range. 20 minutes later, I get a phone call from the city or the township inspector, and the township inspector says to me, David, I got good news for you. Lo and behold, we found a third map online. You can go to www.somethingfema.com. I don't remember exactly what it was, and you can see it there for yourself. You guys are nowhere near the floodplain, and nor will you ever be. So I just want you to know that. And
so map 1, map 2, map 3.
Right. So the third one's the charm. And then the following.
At least so far.
Yeah. Now, that was Wednesday, Thursday. Now, Friday morning, I get a knock on my front door. Friday morning, 7:30 a.m., my wife answers the front door, and there's the federal guy standing there again, and he's got a card and another map. And he hands my wife a map and a card, and he says, listen, everything's okay. There are no problems. You guys are not in the floodplains. Everything's good. Just let your husband know that. And he left.
And he left.
Yes.
To go bring more good news to somebody else.
Yes.
So it begs the question, if you had accepted their designation the very first time, what would have happened to your property?
Well, it would have been devalued. I've been forced to buy flood insurance. But beyond that, I know we're getting running out of time here in this segment, so maybe on the next part I can tell you. But he offered me a way out for my three pieces of property.
Oh, well, we're going to have to come back and find out what that was. What we're talking about is FEMA, which is the Federal Emergency Management Administration, FEMA. And people are very familiar with the acronym FEMA. And we've got good opinion of FEMA in some areas and some that are pretty scared of FEMA.
Absolutely.
And it's FEMA.gov if you're interested in going to their website. That's the music from our producer showing that we're at the end of the first half of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. We're going to ask you to stick around through the bottom of the hour and we'll be right back.
Do you need to promote your business on the internet? The Truth in Focus Radio Network reaches listeners locally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and all across the United States. The shift is on from traditional media to internet marketing. Stay on the cutting edge with your business. Advertise with us today. Email radio@truthinfocus.org. You heard the word, so will they. Email us at radio@truthinfocus.org.
Kenyon State Wireless is your hands-on source for design, sales, service, and installation of the best land mobile two-way radio systems. Check us out on the web at kenyonstatewireless.com or call us for specific information at 866-458-4772, 866-458-4772. Kenyon State Wireless. When you're serious about communication.
Fantasy.
And welcome back to the second half of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. This is Amanda Teagarden in studio with Don Wyatt. Our special in-studio guest today is David McLean, resident of Skytook Township in Oklahoma. And our other guest who's on the line with us is Margaret Snow, who, again, lives in a small rural community outside of Ramona, Oklahoma. And I bet most of our listeners have never heard of either one of these places, but, man, FEMA has. And as the song said, who can it be now that's knocking on the door wanting your property devalued? In these cases, it would be FEMA. Whether they want that intentionally or causing it to happen intentionally, we'll leave that up to others to decide. We believe it is intentional, but others will have to decide that. But with the resulting designation of floodplain, particularly in areas that have never flooded, can result in, as in Margaret Snow's example, 50% reduction in your property value.
And it's really disastrous if you have to have financing on your property, because any federally regulated bank that might be carrying your mortgage is mandated to require the federal insurance if you're designated in a floodplain. So it's a vicious cycle.
Your property is incredibly attached. It's just attached to your wealth. It's your collateral.
Correct.
If you ever want to increase your lot in life, you have to start out with property. You have to own property so you can improve your property, improve your lot in life, get a loan, buy a business, development. This is how you private George Washington said this, and I know the powers that be don't like to hear about the founding principles of this country, but it says private property and liberty are inseparable.
Intractably linked.
They're connected together. Yes. So without the right to own private property and to increase your lot, you don't have liberty.
Correct.
And we're supposed to be based on the respect, the God-given right of an individual to increase his lot, to own and improve his property.
Correct.
Whatever that property is, whether it's intellectual property rights, his body, his land, his home.
In fact, back to founders, we like to throw founders into the discussion when we can because it's so enlightening.
They were smarter than people today.
They were before TV. I'm convinced that that's why they were so smart. They read instead of watch TV. But that's a different issue altogether. Maybe a different show.
They didn't Twitter.
Jefferson's argument was that pursuit of happiness was inseparable from private property ownership. And that's why.
Right. And the Marxist among us would like to separate you from private property and have everything be state-run.
Exactly.
And to level things out. Well, who can it be now? In this instance, would be the Oklahoma Water Resources Board. And if you want to go to their website, it's owrb.ok.gov. That's the Oklahoma Water Resources Board. And they have been engaged in the last 5 years is to examine all things water in the state of Oklahoma. That should have you quaking in your shoes right now, because they have a 2012 Oklahoma Comprehensive Water Plan. And apparently this includes these floodplain designations by FEMA. And with the result that you're going to have reduced property values, and I believe part of sustainable development is to get people off their private property, move into more urban areas, and rewild these other these now vacated places. It also steals wealth and all kinds of things. Now, before we went to the bottom of the hour, David, you were talking about what had happened during the series of days with this visit by people who represented themselves as FEMA, and that they've had three maps. First map, you're not in the floodplain. Second map, you're in the floodplain. Third map, by golly, we got another map and says you're not in the floodplain. And you'll never, ever will be in the floodplain. Which, you know, don't try to take that to the bank. But so these are the experts with three maps that are all different.
Yes.
So there's not really a lot of integrity to their word, or they really sound like Keystone Cops kind of thing here, but they're making very serious
serious accusations about my life, my liberty, my property.
Absolutely. Your property. They can make or break the value of your property based on these designations. So they shouldn't be messing around with not having accurate information to begin with, or being able to offer you a deal.
Right.
What's the deal?
Well, the deal is this, and I don't remember the forum name, but one of the so-called agents or said agents said to me, "Well, David, what we can do is your three pieces of property here, the house that you're living in here and the two houses that you're building there, we can actually give you a form that you can fill out. It'll opt you out of the floodplain. Now, everybody else around you will be in the floodplain with exception of you. That way, when you go to the banks to sell your house, you don't have to have flood insurance on yours. You know, you'll be able to sell them through normal FHA, VA without having any insurance on these three houses."
Is your property on an elevator? I mean, that can go up and down and change the elevation?
Yeah.
Hydraulic risers. There
no,
you go.
So it's a virtual hydraulic elevator. It can change your topographical map virtually.
Right.
And get you out of this. You can opt out of getting flood insurance because they can designate you non-flood.
Yes, just by
which
the
tells
of
you
pit.
That the all rest of their designations are worthless.
That's right.
It's arbitrary. It's
arbitrary.
I may be wrong, but I'm guessing that what they were talking to you about was called a letter of map amendment. That's an LOMA.
That's
you can
it.
Do that through FEMA, and there's actually a website where they will accept your letter of map amendment and adjust their maps and leave you on that virtual hydraulic elevator.
That's what they offered me, was the LMOA. Is that what it's called?
LOMA.
Yeah, I remember that because when my daughter texts me, it's ROLF or something like that. I don't know what they LOL or whatever they you know.
Laughing out loud.
Yeah, laughing out loud. That's what I was doing the whole time there. I was laughing out loud because they were so busy violating my constitutional rights, but beyond that, violating the word of God.
Right.
You see, that the word of God says, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church." And that word "gates" means governments of hell shall not prevail against the church.
Right.
And that's exactly what that was all about. They were doing. I truly believe they were testing the ground to see how far the federal government could encroach on the body of believers.
There's also scripture, and you would know this better than I, and I'm paraphrasing here, but that you cannot move your neighbor's boundary.
There you go.
That's right.
And by flipping the maps around, you are in essence moving the boundary by the government's boundary.
That's right.
And again, unscriptural, unrespectful of private property rights, and just flat out not accurate.
That's right.
I mean, if you're in a floodplain and you're really in a floodplain, you really want to know that the map has integrity and that your property is in danger.
If there's
so you can make decisions.
Yeah, if there's a legitimate threat, then you need to accommodate that threat. But if the threat is actually artificial and purely fictitious, then it's an encroachment on our rights as citizens.
Let's talk to Margaret again, just a minute. And again, Margaret, you're in Ramona or outside of Ramona. And were you able to meet any other people in the surrounding area that had the same circumstance as you?
Yes, I've met several, and I've visited with several on the phone. I've even had emails come from other states from people that heard I was in this fight. And I've also spoken with our county, and there's a couple of things David said that just perked my ears, and one is I'm quite familiar with the Loma Packet and that thing, and I'm also quite familiar with the partnering word, because what I found out early on in this is that each county, or in his case the township, has to partner with FEMA, and I had the explanation of what the partnering meant from the Washington County Floodplain Manager, who is part of this partnering. So yes, I've had numerous conversations with people. I've been to his office numerous times. He has actually provided me with many names, and I have a meeting with him again tomorrow to talk to him about people that have been caught in this.
Who is this person?
His name's Mitch Antle, and he is actually the emergency management coordinator for Washington County, and this flood issue has been run through their offices, and he was appointed the Washington County Floodplain Administrator for it.
Washington County Floodplain Administrator, and again, his name is Mitch what?
Antle. And he's a very nice young man. He's been very helpful, and, you know, he's actually one of the only allies I found in the whole process.
And
but I do have a letter here as you were speaking and as David was speaking in regard to this Mr. Gavin Brady, that I knew his name was on something I had, and I found it at my fingertips in my 3-inch file real quick. So
wow.
He is with Oklahoma Water Resources Board, and I have a letter that was copied to him. That's why I know that.
All right. And so it's the same people or the same group of people that are involved with this. And you mentioned this letter, and were you given the option to opt out?
Well, when I went to, you know, research what was going on, Mitch explained to me the Loma packet, and he said, this is how people are getting an amendment on this. And he explained to me how I went about to get an amendment. And, of course, these amendments are not just something you write in and get. There's a lot of expense, fees, et cetera, tied to these packets. So he did give me that and showed me how I could use it. Unfortunately, it didn't work for me.
Who do you pay if you have to get this amendment? Who would you pay?
Professional surveyors or engineers are required, aren't they, Margaret?
That's exactly what's required. And each of those people that you end up paying fees to have to be licensed specifically to do these surveys and studies. They can't be just the surveyor you've used for everything else. They have had to have paid a fee to get into this program, too, to be able to do it.
So they're a member of an organization?
Well, I think it's a license that they acquire that says, yes, they are licensed by, you know, FEMA to be able to do these surveys.
So the government creates a problem and then provides the solution. I love that. We see that more than once, don't we?
They provide the solution through a whole series of steps that they put into place.
You know, I did ask them the question, you know, did they hire local engineers to make these decisions? And he said, oh, absolutely not. We have our own engineers.
Or FEMA.
We hire out-of-state engineers to reset these boundaries is how it was explained to me. And I said, why would you ever hire somebody from out of state to do an engineer, you know, to engineer floodplains in the state of Oklahoma? How do they know where wouldn't you want to talk to the locals where it's flooding?
David, did you or Margaret ever hear or were either of you ever told that these new maps were dreamed up from satellite imagery?
Actually, I was. In speaking with Mitch, we discussed it in length about how they were generated. I have the maps, that aerial views and so forth, that they were he gave me copies of them.
That's what I thought.
And I asked him specifically, so you're telling me that this was just done by the click of a computer somewhere?
There you go.
And his answer was yes.
And pretty arbitrary at that.
Well, the other word that was used several times to explain to me answers to my questions is subjective. It's subjective. So that might answer your question.
Did you hear the term watershed planning region, this phrase watershed planning region reports?
I've not heard that term used, but I am familiar with it because many, many years back, this area was in what's called the watershed program, and there were lakes built for watershed lakes in this area. And I have examples of those on a lot of my dad's old conservation records.
And again, your family has lived on this property since 1946.
And 1946, and our property was split when U.S. Highway 75 went through when I was younger, and actually, you know, we had both sides of highway. I have prime highway frontage too here where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. All right, and David, you had this property that is attached to Emmanuel Baptist Church is also split or divided by a street. Mm-hmm. In the township of Skytook.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was some development in between. So it's not a contiguous piece of property.
Right.
But this representative gave you the option of opting out and having the designation of both the housing area and the church area. And the church, was the church have to opt out?
No.
The church was out.
Just the property that I was developing.
Just the property that you were
yes.
developing.
Yes, that's all that he said. He had an LMOA, whatever form.
Loma
form. And he told me, though, that there would be absolutely no cost to me, zero cost at all get that done.
They must have been offering that the engineers of Skytook would do that engineering work for you, because I ran into that at Broken Arrow. They did it for me at no cost, but... Well, let's say no direct cost. I'm still a taxpayer, and I pay the taxes that pays those guys' salaries, so I was paying that way, but not directly.
Don, you had experience with FEMA. When we first started talking about this, you said, well, you're very familiar with FEMA from living in that flood state called Arizona.
That's right, yeah. It's,
what happened?
Flooding is a real serious problem over in Arizona, as everybody knows. I lived on northwest... part of Tucson for quite a long time. We had survived two 500-year floods after my property was built, and that was the designation of the the weather gurus, whatever they were. Probably NOAA, if I had to guess. But in any case, they decided after I'd been on this property for about 25 years to change the location of the floodplain and declare me to be in the floodplain. And so, needless to say, I did battle with them and managed to get them to extract that or retract that because they could see that it had not been affected by two 500-year floods in the space of about 7 years, and therefore was not reasonable to include it in the floodplain. The floodplain is usually supposed to identify properties that are within a 100-year floodplain, and they got a different designation for those that are in the 500-year floodplain, and they don't have a designation for any period longer or more extreme or radical than that. And so I got that defeated in Arizona. But at that time, they were telling me that I'd only have to pay $129 a year for the flood insurance if I wanted to just roll over and play dead and leave the floodplain map as it was. And I fought that on principle. I said, I don't care what the amount is. I'm not in a floodplain.
Well, once you buy it, it's an admission that you're in a floodplain.
Exactly.
And then that affects your property.
And it affects mine and the properties around it, too. So we fought it and managed to get them to revise the maps. And again, it was one of those cases where the maps were created by arbitrary satellite imagery where they thought the alluvial floodplain, that is the water sheeting or the watershed coming off the mountains, might actually flow as deep as 12 inches where my house was. Well, it didn't. It never would. It won't. And so it was just a foolish piece of software that came up with the drawings of the flood map.
Real quick, I got to ask: are there mountains in Skytook?
No.
Are there mountains in outside of Ramona, Margaret?
No, there's a few little rolling hills.
We're talking little. Oklahoma is in the plain, so you at least had mountains.
We at least had mountains, yes. And so we beat that one, and then I had another incident with FEMA much more recently right here in Broken Arrow. Oklahoma, just outside of Tulsa, where they came in and arbitrarily declared a cluster of about seven houses to be in the floodplain. It had already been engineered by Broken Arrow. They had done a lot of buildup. There's a little creek down there. I mean, it's literally a creek no wider than 6 or 7 inches wide. And they wanted to pretend like that was the source of the flood risk. And so we in this case, filed the complaint. The engineers at Broken Arrow agreed to come out and do the engineering and submit the LOMAs that we were talking about a minute ago. And as far as I know, that's been done and it's been accepted. But it was silly to go through. They never even set foot on the property. In fact, the maps on which those floodplain drawings were made were at least 4 years obsolete. Didn't even include development that had been put on the property or any of the engineering that was done for flood control management.
Well, the question that I have when listening to you, Don, and you, David, and you, Margaret, is that you must not be the only people affected in the state of Oklahoma with a flood designation, and this has to have affected a bunch of others, with the net result that if they have not been successful in overcoming it, that their property value has gone down.
Yes, and their costs have gone up for insurance.
Their costs have gone up.
And in fact, they may not have even been able to get a refinance on their loan.
So this is very serious assault on property in the state of Oklahoma.
And free enterprise.
And I think is cause for people to get to make contact with your other neighbors if you've been designated as a floodplain. And we're not talking those that are legitimately near water
sure.
that's going to overflow and you actually have had water in your house. That's not who we're talking about.
Agreed.
We're talking about these out-of-the-blue designations where nothing has changed and all of a sudden the map changed and says you're in a floodplain.
I can't prove it, but I'm willing to bet that at least 80% of those affected today fall in that second category.
They do. And you, Don, and I have had opportunity, and David also, when you're out and about, you have the state of Oklahoma is... has 77 counties in it. We're a pretty large state, not heavily populated. There's a lot of rural areas and a couple of, like, three maybe what you would consider urban areas where there's a higher concentration of people. Higher, it's more densely populated is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
But then the rest of it actually has people in it. But it's you move here because there's wide open spaces.
Exactly.
And a gentleman named Miles Tolbert, who's now head of some agency in Oklahoma, environmental agency, years ago used to work for the Fish and Wildlife Department and was interviewed in Tulsa at a press club and was talking about endangered species. And it has something to do with either a wild chicken or some sort of an iris. And he was complaining or lamenting to the audience, which was small, that, of course, this is a problem in our state because 95% of the land is privately held. So here's the guy with the Fish and Wildlife Department,
lamenting.
Who I'm really sure doesn't really care about chickens or irises,
exactly.
was lamenting.
Or
the
snail darters or pygmy owls or any of the above.
All of that other stuff, some amoebas, probably doesn't care, except because, but the idea of private property ownership was restricting a government entity getting onto property and taking it.
That's exactly
Now that's
right.
what we would call it. He was saying, well, we're just protecting the environment. No, they're not. They're taking your property.
Right.
And that's that. The net result of these designations is taking of property.
Right.
Your wealth.
That's right.
They
just reduce your wealth at the stroke of a pen.
At the exactly. stroke of a pen when nothing has changed.
That's
and
right.
in our time right now, people have got to cling to what has some value. And land obviously has value.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they're so anxious to get it.
Yeah.
And right. move you somewhere else. Well, I don't mean to put both of you on the spot, but Margaret, I'm going to start with you. Are you aware the Attorney General in the state of Oklahoma, Attorney General Scott Pruitt, has agreed to meet with people who have been affected by a floodplain designation, these changing maps, and is willing to meet with them if they will provide their paperwork, the documentation? He doesn't want to hear angry people necessarily if you don't have your paperwork to show before and after designation. Before, my property was worth this. After this designation, my property is this. And Margaret, I just want to encourage you that you've already mentioned that you've talked to some of your neighbors and have even had people from out of state contact you about this designation. People need to get organized, and a person here in Tulsa County has agreed to be the point person to set up a meeting in September 2011 with Attorney General Scott Pruitt. If we can get enough people together who have the same story as Margaret and a similar story as you, David, would you two be willing, and again, I don't mean to put you on the spot, would you be willing to be contact persons for others who have experienced this? And I'll start with you, Margaret.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I've already get in touch with my sister who's affected, my nephew, and several other people. I would absolutely like to see this come to light.
All right, and have that. And how would people contact you, Margaret?
They can email me or they can call me.
Oh, let's give your email address.
It's msnow, S-N-O-W, 14@netzero.net.
So that's short for Margaret Snow.
It's just
msnow. S-N-O-W.
Right. 14@netzero.net.
Okay. And they have to live in Oklahoma. And they have to have had, we have to narrow it down.
But we really should encourage our listeners in other states to look into this same possible abuse in their states.
Because
we need pushback nationwide on this. This is out of control.
msnow14@netzero.net. And David, how about you have some very good friends in Skytook?
Yes.
In contacts? Would
yes,
should they contact the church? What do you want them to do?
We would. You'd want to contact Keith Schenkel.
Keith Schenkel, K-E-I-T-H Schenkel, S-H-A-K-N. We're not even told Keith this yet.
S-H-A-N-K-L-E. He won't mind.
Thank you. And
Schenkel. Okay. He's Keith Schenkel, S-H-A-N-K-L-E, Schenkel, and you can reach him at, I believe it's libertyforge.us, www.libertyforge.us. You can reach Keith Schenkel on there.
I have another email. It's kschenkel at gmail.com.
Okay.
Kschenkel, S-H-A-N, like your ankle with an S-H right. in front of it. Okay, Kschenkel. We better let Keith know.
Yeah, he also serves he as our...
Keith is the point man now.
He's the point man. So if you have had designation and you live in the Skytook area, or if you live in Tulsa County or Washington County or any other county and you happen to be listening to this, the Panhandle, by the way, I'm going to list areas in the state of Oklahoma that were part of this watershed planning region, and it's the Panhandle, which is in western Oklahoma, southwest, west central, upper Arkansas, middle Arkansas, this is the river, Grand, lower Arkansas, Eufaula, southeast, Blue Boggy, lower Ouachita, Beaver Cache, and central. And if you want to know those lists again, if you go to the Oklahoma Water Resources Board website, there's a list there of watershed planning region reports. And we just encourage you, if you had a designation as a flood plain or flood zone that is different than it was before and your property has not flooded, we want you to contact Margaret Snow or Keith Schenkel, and a meeting will be organized so you can bring your paperwork, the details of it,
right?
Not just because you're angry, but the details of your issue. And a meeting can be organized with Attorney General Scott Pruitt for him to look into. Can't guarantee he's going to do anything about it, but he's agreed to the meeting.
Without sounding too conspiratorial, it's reasonable, it seems to me, to guess that FEMA is reaching out to cover more and more property to raise revenue, to repay the coffers for money that was spent on Katrina and other places. They may also be doing it because they want to take control of more property. We know that they're planning to use watersheds and waterways and waterlands as a way of implementing Agenda 21 over time, and I think this is just a part of that process.
Agenda 21 has frequently stated that if you control the water, you control the people.
Exactly.
And the state of Oklahoma in 2012 was making the water is an issue. So
Right. Everyone
needs to be aware of this, particularly if you own property in the state of Oklahoma. David, we want to thank you very much for taking time. We know you're a very busy man.
Thank you.
To drive to Tulsa from the township of Skytook. Now, I'm going to have to ask you afterward what's the difference between a township and a city or in a town. But apparently it's a significant difference. And Margaret, for being our guest, and we'll have to have you both back when we've got some time. But I thank you for being our guest. We've got about 1 minute left. And Don, you got any words of encouragement?
Well, it seems to me that I've heard this message of mandated purchase of insurance in some other context recently. Oh, yeah, it has to do with ACA, doesn't it?
The Affordable Care Act?
Yeah, it's illegal there. It ought to be illegal on flood insurance as well.
Always be cautious if the government, if somebody comes, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. That's the music, Don, indicating another hour of America in the Balance is concluded. We thank our listeners for listening. As always, we like to end. May God bless you. We'll be right back.